born in Ladham?
Oh, 24th of July 1905.
And which part of the village did you live in those days? Where did you live in Ladham in those days?
Well, actually that row of houses up at the, opposite this little barber's shop here.
Oh yes, West Terrace they call it now.
Well, yes, but I mean they were just ordinary cottages.
That's right.
Yes, I was born in the one sitting from that passage.
Yes. Did you go to school in Ladham?
Yes.
Who was the headmaster in there?
Mr. Hayhurst.
And tell us a bit
George
about
George Hayhurst, yes.
And you left at 14, did you?
Well, I left at 13. And, you know, what did they call that? There's some special thing you go in for. Can't think the name of it now, but if you passed, you left at 13.
Yes. And then you went to work?
No, labour, I believe they called it labour exchange or something like that.
Ah.
I'm not sure.
No.
Yeah.
And your father was a thatcher?
What do you mean to start off with?
Yes.
Well, no, I went to... I helped him during the, holidays from school. And then, of course, when he finished, he was getting on. My father was very old. And I went to gardener for Mrs. Fitcher at the Grange. I was there 57 years.
I see.
Hmm.
So you didn't actually do any thatching yourself?
I have done it.
Yes.
You know, odd jobs.
So you learned the trade.
I did Mr. Adcock's summer house.
Oh, yes.
Little summer house there.
Yes, down the garden.
Round. I thatched it for him. And I'd done several little jobs, you know, about. So ornamental jobs.
Yes. Which buildings did your father do around Ladham?
Which one?
Which houses did your father thatch in Ladham? Quite a few of them, I suppose.
Well, quite a lot of them are pulled down now, I should imagine.
Yes.
At Ladham Hall, they were all thatched buildings at one time. What are now covered in that asbestos, or what do you call it?
Yes.
Sheets of asbestos.
Oh, one of the things I'm interested to know is, did you see much of the plane crash during the war? The one that landed in Thrower's Yard.
Well, I was nearly killed there. I helped to get him out anyway.
Ah, right.
Though I wasn't mentioned, you know what I mean? I just got back there, my governor to work, Mr. Pitchers, not the one, his father I'm talking about, and I was on a bike, and biking out to post a letter. Suddenly I see something come past me like that, about 10 yards in front of me. And that was a wheel off that plane that hit that wall opposite. There's a wall there opposite. That bounced like that and they finished up in the vicarage.
Ah.
And Cyril and Russell helped, but I helped not because the pilot came to see me too when he came over. He came twice back to Ladham and he never came without seeing me. He knew who I was anyway.
Yes.
But I didn't bother. There were several people taking notes there and of course I went back to work. I didn't bother to stop.
It did quite a lot of damage at the back of the shop, didn't
That's
it?
That's right, yeah.
It knocked down the old hen
house.
Yeah,
it was a Lockheed Hudson. That finished right in. That hit an old building at the back, block of billiards at the butcher. Where he used to put his bullocks in before he killed them. An old corrugated iron building that hit the top of that and then finished up between the butcher's shop and Thrower's shop. Finished straight in like it.
Yes, and set fire to Mrs. Thrower's curtains.
That's right, yeah. What year that was, I don't know. I can't think.
1943, I think.
I know, that must have been either 43 or 42.
Yes, he had a very lucky escape.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't bother much, I saw the chap was all right. But there would have been, bullets started to snap and fly off.
Yes.
Yeah, he came to see me here anyway, the young pilot. And Russell Brooks brought him round the first time. Had a chat. He's pleased to see me, and he knew who I was.
Did you have much dealing with Albert Naki Knights?
Albert Knights?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew Albert right enough. Yes, certainly. He was a proper character, wasn't he?
Yes. Well, tell us a bit about Albert and his father. Perhaps you'd have known Sam.
No, that's one house my father thatched. Old Sam Knights, his father, when he had that. And there was a little thatched building at the back where he kept the pony and cart in. Yeah, that's one of them. That's some years ago.
That's right.
But
right.
See, I was only a boy then when I went with him thatching.
Yes.
Then, of course, I left, and when he got, well, he wasn't really past it, but he finished. And there wasn't all that call for thatching then. So I took the job of Mr. Fitzhugh, and I was there 57 years.
Yes, of course, in the days of Sam Knights, harness making for all the horses in the village.
That's right, yeah. See, there's no horses now,
No. And then when Albert sort of took over, it became more of a general shop, I suppose.
That's right. Yeah, he had a little pony and cart, and he used to go about after his various places where he had to do harness work, you know.
Yes, Albert could be a bit cantankerous, couldn't he?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Do you remember his car? Albert's car.
Oh, Albert's car, the old car, he had no Rolls.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the only car I remember. He had motorbikes. I knew he had an old Indian. But he had this old Rolls Royce. It was a good old car, but it was one of the early models, you know.
Yes, I think it was about 1926.
That's right, yeah. I think he had an accident with that at Wroxham, and he finished with that crossing where you go down, turn sharp to go to Royers, you know. It's up on that corner.
Yes, I once had a ride with him in it. We went to Horning Ferry one Sunday morning when
That's
I first
right,
lived
yeah.
in Adam. Sundays he always used to have a shave on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And then he used to go off to Horning and deliver vegetables to the ferry.
That's right, yeah. Yes, the old ferry. That's finished now, of course.
Yeah. Who else do you remember as characters in Ludham in those
any
days?
Any more Thatchers?
Oh, interesting people you knew in the
well,
days, old boys.
Yes, I can tell you a lot of old characters. You know, one of them I particularly liked just to work for Clifford Kettle.
Yes.
Old Jimmy Cook. He was one of the most witty men I ever knew. And I remember my brother, he never did like that an old bull Clifford had down there. And Arthur said to him one day, he said, they're right in the middle of this field. He said, which way would you go, Jimmy, now, if that old bull came out of the field? He said, not the same bloody way as he was going, I said. That was his words, you must hear it.
Yes,
that's what
right,
he said.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he said, not the same bloody way as he was going the opposite way to him. But he's the most witty man. I remember the Reggie Bell in that farm before Clifford went in. His wife was away on holiday and left him. He was very fond of rice puddings. He said, make me a couple of big rice puddings. He said, that'll last me a time you're gone. So she did. Well, of course, when he tasted these puddings, he couldn't eat them. They'd been feeding the cows on sugar beet tops. And he couldn't eat them, so he asked old Nuts, the one I'm now told, and he said, do you like rice puddings, Jimmy? He said, well, yes, master, that I do. And he never saw him for about a fortnight after that. And he said to him, he said, Jimmy, how'd you get on with them puddings? All right, master, he said, keep you giving them old cow sugar beet tops. Yeah. Yeah, he was a character. Yeah.
Did you ever go to the Baker's Arms when old Warren
came? Oh, Baker's Arms, yes, old Davy. The old Davy had a fairly big family. I went to school, all the children, anyway. John Davis, clean as wax, that Mrs. Davy was. You could eat your dinner off the floor. And, of course, when these fishing parties used to come there, they used to always have the lunch there, you know. It was always onions and roast steak, roast beef. Yeah, they had rare parties there, and they used to come up in the old trap, with old, I don't know what you call them, there was two horses in it. Used to bring in about 20 would get in that, come from Norwich.
Ah, the carrier's cart was
there. That's right, yeah. Yeah, they'd have their feed there, and then they'd go off fishing. When they come back, that was opening time then, they'd... I seen enough beer floating on a 40-foot floater boat.
did they bake bread and things in the...
Oh, beer running down the cellar.
Yes, did they do baking in the Baker's Arms as well as selling beer?
Did he what?
Did they do baking of bread at the Baker's Arms?
I never heard of that.
No.
I don't know why they called it Baker's Arms, I never heard of that. But I'm talking about when there was four public houses in Ludham. In the village,
yes.
I mean. There was a Baker's Arms, the King's Arms,
the Crown.
Crown House, and the Spread Eagle down as you go to the doctor's on the right. Thatched house. Spread Eagle, I remember that. That's some years ago.
Yeah, well, I suspect there was a lot of drinking done in those days with all those farm labourers. It was thirsty work.
That's right, yeah.
Who kept the Spread Eagle, do you remember?
Where's old Dora Clark? That would be Herbert Clark's grandmother.
Ah, yes.
And then when that finished as a pub, she had it as a lodging house. Used to take in lodgers. Yeah, that's it. Then, of course, there's the doghouse, that's another one, but that's out of the village, isn't
it? Yes. Well, wasn't the house where Mrs. Hall lived a pub at one time?
What, Mrs. Hall that died?
Yes.
Never heard of
no.
one there. Somebody else asked me that a few weeks ago.
And then there was the Crown House that was kept by the Newtons.
That's right, yeah.
Do you remember much about them?
Well, I knew the whole family, all Ebenezer, all the sons, Eddie, Arthur, Hubert, and of course the three girls. Yes, I knew them all. Ebenezer.
And Woodbine?
Woodbine, he was the one who went to America.
That's right.
And he came back. Woody, we used to call him. Yeah, they were nice. Quite a nice family. Eddie actually was a friend of mine. He used to play bowls for me a lot.
And they were also the coal merchants as well, weren't they?
That's right, yeah, they were coal and corn merchant. And he used to keep his corn down in the old, what he now turned into flats down at Wilmot.
Yes, the Maltings.
That's right, the Maltings. He always kept his corn down there. Well, he had to hire it off Charlie Green, you see. Mr. Green, he was in that farm what...
The Beaches.
Little Brooks had got.
Yes.
Well, he was another character, Charlie Green was. He used to play... You talk about play tricks. I remember him going pinching 100 weight of coal out of Newton's yard, old Ebenezer, you know, the coal merchant. And put it on Scott's step. He was a policeman. And of course, when old Scott got up, he saw this 100 weight of coal, he put it in his shed. He said, "That's a good present." Charlie Green was full of them tricks. He was the one who kept the farm, I'm not
sure. Yes, I remember Charlie, yes.
And I can remember when Ebenezer, he had to go to London for something. He went out far, but He had to go to London, and they knew he was coming home this particular night, so they broke into his, they opened his pantry window, Charlie Green did, and then he went down, and Mrs. Newton was abed, of course. This happened about 11 o'clock at night. He opened the door and let, there was three or four of them, there was Ernie Dale, Jack Dale, who used to be the builder, and Charlie Derry, and he let them all in, and they sat up there and drank all his beer. They got his bottles of beer out, and because I'd have wanted some kind of pudding he had ready. She'd got this ready for him, because he was late. And of course, then they cleared off, and they shut the window up, Charlie Green, and they all cleared off. When Mrs. Newton come down in the morning, she said to him, "Had you ever been here last night?" He did not word about it. Well, she said there were six glasses on the table. He said, "Well, I never seen her about it." Of course he didn't. They'd taken that, they'd shut the door and everything, you see. She never seen nothing of that. That was the tricks they used to play up.
Yes. Do you remember when the brick kilns were working in Ludham?
Brick Hill?
The brick kilns at Womack.
No, and yet...
They'd finished?
Yes, that was like they are, well, a little bit tidied up today, but I mean, they were just the same.
Yes.
Well, they'd take them away, hadn't
they? That's right, they knocked those down, yes.
They were just two doors.
Arches, yes.
No, I never remember them working. The bricks they used to get away from Ingham.
Oh, yes.
There was a special brick they called Ingham Hard. They were a lovely brick, red brick. And that's where most of the people used to get the bricks from. And the bricklayers then, in those days, I remember George Lincoln. I don't know, did you know Doris?
Yes.
Barnard?
Yes.
That was her father and grandfather. They were the bricklayers then.
And Hilda Burton's father was a bricklayer, wasn't he? Slaughter.
Yes, he worked for them. But I meant they were master tradesmen I'm talking about. Yeah. Jack Slaughter worked for them, and he also worked for Dale when they finished. Yeah, he's a nice little chap, little Jack Slaughter.
About the wartime.
Yes, you would remember all about the troops being stationed here during the war. That must have been quite a time.
Who was it?
When all the troops were stationed.
Oh, of course they did. The Durham Light Infantry, King Shropshire Light Infantry. I didn't quite know what that stood for, KSLI. So I asked him, he said, "Well, King Solomon's last issue." Yeah.
How many troops were stationed in Ludham?
Well, that's a bit difficult to say. I should say several hundred.
Yes.
They had the old Nissen huts on Maddox Fields, just down the school road. And they had some down Cold Harbour way. I'm not sure where they were now.
And in the Manor Gardens?
Yeah, there was some in the... Yes, it was in the Manor, but Dr...
Gabriel
Noham.
Do you remember much about Mrs. Brooks at the Manor?
Yes, of course I do, all them. Yes, she's a bit queer. Nice, good-hearted woman. But a little on the, you know...
Eccentric.
That's right, yeah. Yes, she used to often give bowling parties down there. And I remember we were having a bowling do down there. That was when let's see. No, she was gone from there. Then that was can't think of the name of the man who bought that. Well, anyhow, she bought that from him anyway. This whoever was it, Colonel? God, can't think of his name now, Colonel.
Do you remember old Dr. Gordon?
God, yes, boy, that was long while before him.
Yes.
Dr. Gordon, yeah, an old Irish doctor. If your wife was having a little one, And you'd got a bottle of whiskey stand on the table, he'd stop all night. There's no trouble then. But he was a good doctor, he was rough, but a good doctor.
Yes, he travelled around in a pony and cars?
He had an old car. When he first started, he started with a pony and trap, and then he went to this old car that was I know every time you got recorder, you'd hear this old thing whistle. You'd have a whistle on it. Whatever was the name of it, but Russell Brooks had the old car. Now he used to use that. He was only a youngster. He used to drive it about the village. Great old high thing, you know, like one of the old Fords.
Yes. I expect that was almost the first car in Ludham.
Well, I should say that was. And old Bob Ellett was a chauffeur. He lived in that cottage stand-in way as to the road. You go down the school road.
Oh, yes.
There's one where you go, the first one as you go in. Yeah, he lived there, Bob Ellett. That's some years ago.
Then after he left, Dr. Gordon, it was Dr. Brown, wasn't it?
Dr. Brown, yeah. Yeah. Because Dr. Brown was down there for years, but Dr. Gordon was the one brought me to this world anyway. Of course, I don't remember that.
Yes, because families were much bigger in the village in those days.
They were, yes. And you take the Maddox family. I suppose there'd be 10 in that family. George, Billy, Ted, Tom, Bob, Alfred. And then there was Elsie, Sissy. Anyhow, there was 10 of them, I think 10. And they were a nice family. A real old-fashioned family, great eaters.
Yeah. Yes, because in those days, there was no nipping out of the village to do your shopping. It was all done at throwers, I suppose.
Yes, I remember that when it was just a tiny little shop. He had an old pony and cart, an old white pony. And he used to do his rounds. He'd go round Hornan and Eastwood. And I suppose that'd be as far as he'd go in Hicklin. He'd do around about 7 or 8 mile radius. With old pony. Yes, there was a little tiny shop there then, the rails in front. But Mrs. Thraw was his wife was the one that really, she worked hard there.
And then England's were the butchers, weren't they?
England, Billy England was the butcher. Well, I remember his father, you see, old Kirby England. He was the first one I remember there, Kirby England. Then, of course, when he died, old Billy England took it over. And then when Ted Hall ran it then. And then Arthur Gores, what, died.
Didn't they have a slaughterhouse down somewhere opposite the church room?
Yes, there was a slaughterhouse there. And England's slaughterhouse was down where that, that was on the left where that plane crashed.
Oh, yes.
The slaughterhouse joined the butcher's shop there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him many a time kill a bullet in there.
Yes, it was very different in those days. Everything was done in the village and made in the village, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
The mill rights and the wheel rights.
Yeah. You got paid very little for it. They say they were the good old days. I don't know whether that's true.
Well, the people didn't have much to spend the money on. Well, little they earned,
a man on a man on the farm was a quid a week.
Yes.
And on that farm of Maddox's, there was besides about 6 of the Maddox employed on there. There was there would be 12 to 14 men. So on the lot they'd be on that farm, there'd be about 21 or 2 men on that farm. And I can tell you all of them. There was an old couple there, Walter George and Jackie George, and when they died, Jackie George died first, and of course then that left Walter, and when Walter died, he had a sister lived where Billy's opposite church there, Mrs. Merrison. And of course they shifted old Jackie's things to her, and when little Barry was moving these furniture and different things, there was a little hat box there like that, and the lid came off, and that was full of golden sovereigns. He said there would be hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands in there. Of course little Barry didn't know what they were, he hadn't seen one. And they went all over the place, and they had a tremendous weight anyway. Well, that's where they were paid their weekly wage, old Walter and Jackie, and I suppose they saved all them. Mm. They were paid £1 a week. Yeah, that was about the usual.
Yes.
But I can remember my father saying he can remember when that was 11 shillings a week. And coal was ninepence a hundredweight. I got books up here to tell you about that. And there's some things in there, the old church notes, where, of course, they always put a piece in, you know, each village in the church magazines here. And that said where the people in Hickland had been served with their coal, each one had 11 hundredweight, 11 shillings. 11 shillings, a shilling a hundredweight, coal. And they just had them delivered, that tell you, in all in there.
About the vicars.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you'd remember quite a few vicars in there.
Oh, yeah. My first vicar I can remember was Boycott. Well, a nice man used to stutter a lot, and you'd never hear him stutter in the pulpit. He was the plainest preacher you would ever hear.
I expect congregations in the church were quite big in those days.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, there was, and then the Reverend, after Reverend Boycott, I'm not sure whether I got these right. My wife would tell you, she can remember.
There was a Reverend Guinness.
I'm going far back then.
Ah.
Reverend Boycott was there he was there when I was born, I should imagine. Well, I don't know. Wilmot was just before him, because I didn't remember Wilmot. But Boycott, because I went to the Sunday school, see, when he was there. There were several, you know, didn't stay so long. They were only there for about 2 or 3 years.
I expect you'd have known Mr. Wright at Ludham Hall.
William Wright, yeah.
Yes.
I remember him when he come to Ludham. He was only 38 when he come to Ludham Hall. And he'd suffered with asthma, and chronic asthma and angina. And I think if you look in the churchyard, you'll see he's 97, I don't know if it's 95 or 96. He's 90, one of them too. And he was suffered that all his life. You called him Hunchy, he'd always have this habit. Quite a nice man. He was a good man to work for. I don't think he ever sacked anybody.
That would have been the biggest farm in the village.
He was. And when they took the pension, if they liked to stay on his farm, he'd never go near him. I heard them, these old boys say the only time they see them is when they went after the money.
What about the village police station, that tall building? It's not there anymore.
Was the village police station still in the street in your childhood?
Which was that?
The village police station.
Yes, that was right opposite the garage. But now is
Clark's.
Clark's garage. That was nearer the... There was Billy the Butcher's near where that plane crashed, and then there was two more cottages, and he lived in the third one from the Thrall's shop, and